What's it all for?
Various artists.
Ruby Wilkinson is an emerging artist whose painting explores aspects of the environment, specifically those close to her and her memories, leaning into her surroundings as well as her painterly intuition to produce these beautiful works that dance with bold swooping gestures and vibrant earthly colours that sing out to those saturated within nature. Her work Parade is currently showing as part of A Moment to Hold at the Arts House Trust at Par Homestead, an exhibition bringing together seven female artists engaged in painting and drawing, featuring works by Brunel Diaz, Hannah Ireland, Christina Pata'ali, Joanna Pegley, Kate Small, Barbara Chuck, and Ruby Wilkinson. Wilkinson's work Parade showcases a stunning large-scale sculptural curtain made up of eight calico panels that have each been treated as a painting in itself, coming together to form a breathtaking display of movement and colour that pulls viewers into its world of warm sunsets and memories, allowing a moment to hold within the fleeting memories of time. I caught up with Ruby about her overall practice and work within the show.
Hello, my name's Ruby Wilkinson and I'm a painter based in Tāmaki Makaurau and I paint abstraction.
Your work Parade is currently being shown within A Moment to Hold, a wonderful group exhibition shown at the Arts House Trust at Par Homestead, which brings together works by seven female artists working within painting and drawing. I'd like to start off by delving into the kind of beginnings of your piece within the show Parade, which was made during your time at the Quarry Arts Centre last summer. Would you like to tell me a bit more about your time there and how the specific piece started to arise?
Yeah, sure. That work was made the summer, last summer, 2024 to 2025. Is that the summer?
I don't know. I'm all put out with this news.
Yes, I'm so confused. But I was up there staying at my dad's in Whangarei Heads in McLeod Bay, and I managed to get a studio at Whangarei Arts Quarry, which is just like such a wonderful place, like got so much history. There used to be like a leather tannery there, and there's still like ceramics practicing, like lots of people practicing ceramics and artists living there. It's just like such a special place. It feels like maybe it should be like 30 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like lovely. It's like in this little, held this little pocket of like the, yeah.
It's really beautiful. And I had a studio there in this room called the Scallop Room, and the roof was like shaped like a scallop, and it was like quite a bizarre building. I think it was kind of like the buildings had all been like handmade. It's like clay. It's like very...
Wow.
It's called clay building.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, so I was working in there and it was really, really hot that summer. And I would wake up and swim every day and just take it really slow and then go to the studio in the afternoon and started using fabric dye to make the piece. So deconstructed, it's like eight panels makes up Parade, and so I'd work on the panels on the floor with fabric dye, and it was kind of interesting because my medium is oil paint, and all of a sudden I was like, I'm going to do this fabric dyeing project, and it's a complete new way of painting. Like there's no gesso, there's no, it's very raw, it's, you can't control it as easily, and I wasn't used to like the pigments and stuff, so yeah, that was like a interesting thing to like navigate, like a complete new way of painting, but I'd committed to it. So yeah
I was gonna say that this is, when I was writing my questions I wanted to say shift, but then I changed it to more of like an amplification, maybe like a really like push out of your art practice, a really like dive headfirst into a more sculptural installation forward way of working and presenting paintings. Your paintings, as you said, normally being like oil paint stretched, often framed and of a smaller scale. What influenced you to work big and with this like large scale installation?
Yeah, well actually the work was, my dealer Jana Millers had asked me to be part of this group show that was going to be curated by Erica Van Zon, who's another one of her artists, and Erica was like working on this show that was like about like nature and responding to, I think maybe more particularly like plants, and she had wanted me to do a painting on the wall for the exhibition, and I just like could not, like the idea of like painting on the wall was just so scary. So I was like, no, I can't. But I had actually been wanting to make a curtain for a really long time because I've made quite a few paintings of curtains in the past, or like use them as material to like draw from when I'm working, because I think that a curtain is such a beautiful thing. Like, it divides like public and private life, and yeah, it's just like, yeah, there's so many like nice like symbols around a curtain and having a curtain, and that was something I've been interested in for a while, and it felt right to like, instead of a wall drawing, like have it still be of that scale but portable, or it can move around. And it's interesting because it is like my biggest work, but it is the most portable work. Like, I can fold it down into a tiny box and it can go, like, it's been down to Queenstown, now it's in Tamaki. Like, it's actually so much easier to transport around than a painting on canvas, which is really interesting.
Wonderful. And working at such a large scale, I would imagine it would force you to pivot the ways you would normally approach a work. Could you tell me a bit about the painting process of this piece?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, like I said earlier, it's 8 panels. So I pre-cut calico pieces. I think I had about like 12 panels I was working on actively, and I'd work on the floor and I'd use acrylic paints as well to paint. I kind of was treating them as like 12 separate paintings and like trying not to imagine what it would look like as a whole. I did know that they would get stuck together eventually, but sewed together, but yeah, I was thinking about them individually, and a mix between painting on them with acrylic and also putting them in baths. I'd make like dye baths and soak them overnight and wash them. And yeah, I really enjoyed dyeing the material and then washing it in the sink, like scrubbing the fabric was really nice, because you never get to do that with a painting on canvas. Like,
yeah, it's already so structured.
Super like, like tactile process, very like hands-on. And yeah, like I said before, like there wasn't a lot of control. Like, I did really struggle with the like pigments of fabric dye. Like, I think they're quite like plasticky in a way, or like I was really struggling to get the kind of colours that I really wanted.
Yeah, it's a big shift from oil paint that has that that oil makes it really rich in those those pigments, rather than that acrylic, which is very dry, is really fast.
Totally.
And it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, it's so like such a different medium. But at the same time, like, because I was up north and it was so hot and I was using these mediums, like the panels would dry in like an hour. Like, when I lay them out on the grass outside the studio, they'd dry really quickly. And like, that's something that you just don't get with oil as well.
No.
Like, that was kind of beautiful. It was, a fast way of working. And then, just like with the calico, because the paint would go right through it, there's no gesso. It's like very like, dyeing, it's like not even painting in a way. It's like so different, I reckon.
Yeah, it, I don't know if you looked at Helen Frankenthaler, that very like water fluid movement. And I love the, I feel like with a regular painting, it's like you've got the canvas and the gesso and then the paint. It's really layered. But with this no gesso, it's like they're one and the same. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
They really just like the fibers and the fabric and the dye just like fully. And it's maybe like the fabric, the calico becomes more of like an active player in the,
totally,
the process.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think when you're painting on canvas, like there's so much privacy. You can like do a painting and like cover it up, and like only you know about those kind of ghost paintings underneath the canvas. But on this calico, like everything was on display. Like, it was very like transparent, and there was a lot of fuck ups as well. Like, when I was painting, there was lots of like really bad dyeing experiments and like stuff like that. But yeah,
I was gonna say, I love the fluidity and movement about this work. The color seems to really seep into this raw calico, forming their own organic forms, and then they break into these bold acts of gesture and then sink back into each other. When it comes to the painting process, is there a kind of like point of reference for the forms and colors that are being used, and or is it kind of being led intuitively through a place of material exploration and response?
I think the colour for Parade, I think I said this to someone, maybe my mum, I was like, I couldn't have ever made this work in Wellington, because I was living in Wellington before I was up in Whangarei. because the colours are just so different. Like, I don't know, those colours are so Northland. Like, Northland, like, sunset, like, it's just, like, so much oranges and, yeah. So it's very, like, specific to that place, I think, for colour. And gesture, the painting gestures, I paint quite intuitively, I think, and there's definitely no, like, pre-planning or, or drawing of planning those kind of marks, but... yeah, just painting quite quickly when I'm doing those marks. Quickly, and I'm like almost in like a trance-like kind of state, not really thinking much, which is a nice way to paint, but it also can... there's so much room for mistake and like...
yeah.
Which I love as well. Yeah.
So really just like diving into the material and the paints, kind of got to lean into those, not mistakes, but you know, like those little things you can't quite control.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to like lean into the, I don't know, that space of...
like chance.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Which I think is one of my favourite things about painting, like when you don't quite know what's going to happen.
Mm.
Those like little pockets of those things. Yeah, but was there... With the forms, was there any like overall kind of linkage to maybe like landscape or like specific things, or just artist, whatever came?
There was actually, you know, the reason it's called Parade. Something I was thinking about that time when I was making it, there was a planet parade in the sky, and my dad, he's like obsessed with like out of space, and he would talk to me about this planet parade all the time, and it was like all of the planets were going to be in line for like a couple nights or something, or like like all in one line, like all, I don't really know like much about it really, but that was definitely on my mind. And I feel like maybe at the end of parade, like right towards on the right hand side, there's like four like dots in a row, and I feel like it was like the lineup of the planets was like maybe something I was thinking about, but not like direct at all, you know, like just very intuitive and in there.
Yeah, wow, beautiful. And then when it came to arranging the pieces, what was that process like? I feel like that would be, because it looks very like even though you can see the seams, it seamlessly looks like a whole painting that's maybe been made with that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that. I feel like I see it as like eight separate paintings, but that was actually such a nice process. What I did is I'd finished all of the work and I had photographed each panel, and I went to Harvey Norman and like printed out the photos. And then I like had them on our kitchen table for a week, and I would just like every morning wake up and rearrange the photos around like until I found like the perfect like sequence. And I'd get like my dad to have a go, I'd get my like family friends to have a go, like rearranging it, and it was like quite a nice thing to share with people.
Quite a collaborative.
Yeah. And so like I said, there was originally 12, so we cut out like four.
Oh wow.
And lots of the pieces when we did the sewing as well got cut down. So there's lots of parade that's not in parade.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, which I like.
So maybe those are the ghost paintings.
I think those are the ghost paintings. That's so true. Oh my God, I love that. Yeah.
And with this quite big shift with this piece and doing it, has it kind of, I don't know, reshaped or like extended your concept of a painting, or kind of opened up these new kind of avenues for you?
Yeah, totally. I think I still like struggle to think of it as a painting. Like I do think of it as a sculpture, I think. But it's something I want to do more. And this year I'm really interested in making some parachutes and maybe some kites, or I don't know. I like that it's a curtain and there's like these symbols with a curtain being a thing already, and like how that can add to the work in itself. And yeah, I'm interested in that, like object, painting on object or with object.
Yeah, it kind of, it brings a whole other, it's like a painting in the square frame has its own histories and its own thing when you look at it, but you're bringing in that new object, you're already creating a new conversation with the thing. And then also, yeah, it's like really bringing the work into the space and hold it another way than if just on a wall. And having that like person, I don't know, having something that almost like you're in the space of the painting rather than this painting's in the space.
Does that make sense? I know exactly what you mean. I do. And like that's been such the like a really fun thing with Parade is when we hang it, like because it's free hanging canvas, it is in relation to the air and like the space, and it like moves, and it's like just totally different experience to painting on canvas. Yeah, it is fascinating. Like, I think where it's being hung now at the Pa Homestead, you can't walk around the back, whereas it was originally made so that you could walk around both sides. But I don't like that you can't walk around the back, because I feel like now that it's in hung this way, it like kind of looks more like a painting on a wall, because it's like backed up against a wall a little bit, which is interesting, like how it can like change and have all of these different like almost like personalities, like wherever it goes.
These new lives. You're like traveling with like this traveling painting.
Yeah, in this little box.
That's so sweet. It's got like this whole like memories that are linked to it, and that's like its journey, and then maybe like you have the creases of it traveling with you. It like kind of, it's like this thing that gets more and more. Yeah, and like shifts with every viewing of it, which is really beautiful. And with your piece coming together in this communal space of the group show, how do you feel that your piece speaks to this title, A Moment to Hold, and its kind of surrounding ideas?
A Moment to Hold. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of, when I think of that title, I think of like memories and I think there's a lot of like nostalgia and parade, because I think I was making it in a place where I grew up, and like there was lots of like things resurfacing from my childhood, and like that is very much embedded in the work. And I think that there's a lot of kind of like memory in the show, or like that theme keeps coming around. Like, I was actually at the show of my uncle yesterday, and we were looking at Brunel's painting of the Pavlova, and we were like, oh, that's really like hitting her, something with us.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, Soph interviewed her, and I think they were talking about that so pinnacle family moment.
It's like such a classic, eh? Like the Pavlova with like the kiwi fruit. I was just like, and I think there's something quite beautiful about how all of the artists in that show, there's so many generations, like different generations of artists, and yeah, the timeline is like quite beautiful. Like there's obviously the emerging artists like me, Hannah and Brunel, and then there's like older artists like Barbara Tuck, and it's like so beautiful to share that space with them.
That was Ruby Wilkinson speaking to me about her work within A Moment to Hold, showing at Pa Homestead, the Arts House Trust, which is on until the 1st of March. So be sure to go check out her work and all the other work within the show.